It is a blessing to be here tonight, and as we think about the Word of God, and as we spend a few minutes really learning from the example of the Apostle Paul, I first begin with his words to his son in the faith, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So one of the things that we start off with is context. When we talk about studying God's word, know who's speaking, know to whom they're speaking, and what they're speaking about. So David, thank you, brother, for your kind words. I'm not a grandfather, so I want to just correct that. But maybe in due time. Context is so important. Paul says, "The statement I'm making to you, Timothy, my son in the faith, is a statement based on my belief, my confidence, the assurance I have in God." Faith. But he also says, not only this statement I'm making should be accepted by all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but it's that last part, of whom I am chief. As Christians, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. We're no better than anyone else. So let's make sure we understand our context. So as we pray to God, we should always have an attitude of gratitude. So as we look at the assigned topic for me, model prayers, my full name is Gail Sayers Nelson. That may not mean a lot to many of you, but when I was born, and it's great to have three of my four kids with me tonight. When I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, my mom named me Curtis Anthony. So you think about Saul, then Paul. I mean, my first name was Curtis. My mom said, "That's Curtis Anthony." My daddy got there and said, "Oh, no, I got plans for this kid. That's Gail Sayers." Now, if any of you know anything about football, and Dan's looking me up trying to get his autograph. He's trying to get my autograph for years. I said, "No, it's the other Gail Sayers." But my point is this. My daddy changed my name. Saul, Paul, Curtis. Can you see what I just did there? But my point is my story. And I want us to understand as we pray to God through Jesus Christ, and as we look at some of the examples that Paul gives us, I want you to understand something. We as children of God need to recognize that everybody has a story. Paul certainly, of whom I'm chief. I'm the chief sinner. He recognized his limitations. He knew his history, persecuting the Lord's church. But he understood that through the faith of God and the acceptance of the reality and the biblical fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what a powerful context. I don't care what we achieve. And, you know, my first stop today was at a private school. I was a guest speaker at a private school, and it was a school that's not ashamed of the Bible. And so I went in there, and I'm quoting scriptures and talking to all the little kids sitting there. But I told my story. And I told the story, and just give you a little context before we jump into the text. I share with them that mentorship matters. And we need more mentorship in the Lord's church. I'll share with you what Paul had to say to Timothy and his son in the faith, Titus. But I share the fact that mentors will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And saints, tonight, as we look at Paul, and as I share a little bit more about me contextually later on, let's take a look at, first of all, a model. Growing up, everybody wanted to be like Mike. There were commercials, Gatorade, "I want to be like Mike." You wanted to imitate. And so I bought a red and a white and a wristband. I put it here, and then I would dribble the basketball. And if you know who MJ is, you truly need to study your sports history. But nevertheless, you can imitate people. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, let's get into this Bible. You need to have your Bibles ready, because you're going to have to turn some pages tonight or just use your phone. I won't quote it all, but I will make sure you walk through with me. And I like what they put me on this remote, because they know I don't stand still. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Let's go over there. Turn over there. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Because as you think about a model, who are you following?
My story, and as I think about my professional history, before I started running Big Brothers Big Sisters, I ran a juvenile home for kids who got kicked out of school, went to jail, then they came to me. So when I think about Paul saying, I'm the chief sinner, a lot of these kids looked at themselves as, I'm good for nothing. But we let them know that you're God's creation, and you've made mistakes. But folks, last time I checked, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen, walls and lights. So context, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, he says, be ye followers of me. Imitate, model me, even as I also am of Christ. May we keep our eyes set on God, no matter what. And let us not fall short, because teenagers, and I've worked in youth and family development for 30 years, and then not only that, but even with families, let's make sure we model the appropriate behavior in the presence of our kids. My kids called me, when are you picking us up to go to Palm Beach tonight? That may not seem like a lot, but again, I've met my dad, my parents divorced when I was 2. Context. I met my dad again when I was 18 years old. So to have my child, my oldest son, who just happened to be Gale Sayers Nelson II, call me and say, when are you picking us up? Parents, don't lose sight of that. And so model, imitate, example, pattern. Paul gives us some good examples tonight. And there's some patterns throughout his letters, and certainly time won't permit me to exhaust all of his letters, but one of the things that's so important is, we're going to go to Romans 10 next, his desire. As we seek to imitate, when Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, that word follower, imitator, imitate me. And may we all, as Christians, do things worthy of imitation. So as you look at Paul's prayer, and I'll look at it through various letters. My pattern tonight is I will look at various letters of Paul to the respective congregations. The first letter is at Rome that we will take a look at tonight briefly. And it speaks to the bottom line. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, and the beginning at verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Isn't that the ultimate goal? People can pray for stuff. People can pray for good health. But last time I checked, our physical bodies won't last forever. We certainly, nobody wants to be in pain. I don't think any of you have said, Lord, please bring me pain. But perspective. Paul says, my heart's desire. And that heart he's talking about is not the blood pump, but to see the sensibility. First thing on my heart, my mind, is that my brethren be saved. And there's a whole lot of folks that have a zeal. He goes on to say, for they have a zeal of God, but not according. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. I take note, but not according to knowledge. I want us to understand that classmates, fellow employees, our peers, our neighbors, our perspective that Paul gives us in prayer, his example, never lose sight of the ultimate goal, and that is salvation. Because there's so many in our circles of influence who just don't know the Lord. But may we follow that example, that godly example. And as we go to God, are we praying for our classmates? Are we praying for our neighbors? Because we'll talk to them, and I've been guilty of this. They park on my grass, we got to talk. But if I prayed for them, guilty as charged. There are things that, and it was interesting as we were driving up here, you know, I got cut off like 10 times, and I told my son, I said, I've come a long way. Can anybody relate? Don't leave me here by myself. My point is, I want to imitate God. And Paul says, as I follow Christ. So the first point I want to make tonight of a few points is that as we pray to God the Father, let us be mindful of the ultimate goal of saving souls and not be selfish
in our perspective of always asking things for ourselves? Do we pray for our enemies? They need to be saved too. Everybody needs to have the opportunity, and we should do all we can to encourage them to obey God, to obey the gospel. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, some of my favorite, just what I call the zingers, if you will, David. It just cuts to the chase. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know where I'm going. So in terms of, if you're taking notes, Paul's desire through his prayer is that his brethren be saved. And so our desire should be that all mankind be saved. Two, don't stop. Don't stop. As we look at the model prayer, Paul's example, don't stop. Now, obviously, working oftentimes with law enforcement, when you ask someone to cease and desist, stop doing what you're doing because it's wrong. But our message tonight and our encouragement tonight, don't ever, ever stop praying. And understand the perspective, knowing who we are, knowing whose we are, knowing to whom we pray and through whom we pray. We have been beneficiaries of God's grace. We recognize Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. We're beneficiaries of God's grace. We didn't deserve it in the first place. That's why we have that perspective and should have that perspective that God allowed me to be saved. I pray that someone else can as well. But one of the things that's so important is please don't ever stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. Brothers and sisters, we all stand in need of prayer. There are so many things taking place in our world we need to keep praying. When it seems like all hope is lost and so many things that can divide us, as I look around this auditorium today, I just see a glimpse of heaven. Don't ever stop praying. I have talked to children, hear me clearly, that have said, there's nothing for me to live for. Don't ever lose sight. I don't care how bad it looks. One of the things, Dan, that I tell people all the time, I don't use the word problem anymore. It's opportunity. If you have a lying problem, you have the opportunity to tell the truth. See what we did there? Just switch the perspective. And so pray without ceasing. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other folks. But the Bible lets us know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Go to Romans 12 and 12. Let's just reinforce, let's cross-reference. Romans chapter 12, and the verse is number 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. So if our desire, heart's desire and prayer that mankind be saved, we can't stop praying. Let us imitate, follow Paul as he followed Christ, because Paul gives us some great examples. Paul understood his personal and spiritual context of where he came from. Don't ever forget where you came from. Now that may seem like an easy thing. And it's not to look back on a life of sin, looking back on what you used to do, but no, it's just context. Context. So the father I am today, and I thank God for that. But it has a lot to do, quiet as it's kept, and I'm not so quiet about it, with what my dad didn't do. As I look around here and with folks sitting with husbands and wives and kids, that does something to me. I've stood on quite a few stages and told my story. And so as I stand here today as a husband, as a father, and my kids can sit and hear and read that same Bible I'm reading, that runs deep. So kids that are growing up with both parents, never take that for granted. If you got your grandmama still here and your grandfather, don't take them for granted. They say, honey, look, come on over. Can we pray together on the phone? Well, granny, Nana, whatever you call your grandmama, Nana, I got to go to school. Don't take it for granted. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12 and 12. Look at the text. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. What is hope? Look at Paul. This constancy, this intentionality. He was very deliberate. He said, rejoicing in hope. Well, what is hope? Hope is an earnest expectation to the point of action. Let me say that again. Hope, by definition, the earnest expectation to the point of action. Rejoice in knowing who God is. Rejoice in knowing
and that God has the ability. He's not only all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. He has the ability to respond. He knows what we need. And Paul says, rejoicing in hope. When people say hope is not a strategy. But see, again, people use that all the time in business and leadership. Hope is not a strategy. But you look at it biblically, hope is an earnest expectation to the point of action. You hope to get married. Well, you need to live right. Amen. You hope for a job. Well, then the action is you put out resumes. So you just can't expect something without putting in that sweat equity. And so Paul says, rejoice in hope. We got to work out our own soul salvation. Patient in tribulation. We have to persevere. But look at this. It's all together in Romans 12 and 12. Continuing instant in prayer. In other words, don't cease to pray. What is the example Paul gives us? What's the pattern that you're picking up on? Paul, in most of his letters, says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I make mention of you always in my prayers. It's not a selfish context. It's not, Lord, help me. It's like, pray for David. Pray for his family. Pray for my classmates. I'm praying for that bully at school. That personal context. I love the family prayer because we have to get personal. We have to make our requests known. So again, Paul's personal context, he came from something and he recognized that. That allowed him to be thankful and to rejoice in that earnest expectation of receiving a glory. It gave him context. And if we had the time, and certainly we don't have the time, every one of you has a story. Have you ever told it? I sit on a scholarship committee with a corporation down in Miami. And I ask people, they say, here he comes. I said, tell me your story. They come in all prepared for the scholarship. It's a full ride scholarship, courtesy of the Miami Heat. And so these kids are sitting there and they're all dressed up, GPA, ACT, all the things you guys, they tell you about. I'm like, great, good. Everybody's got a 3.84, all this, these GPAs. I said, I want to hear your story. I said, this is a competitive process. I want to hear your story. Some can tell it, some cannot. Why is that important? It gives me context. Then they start telling their story. Not long after that, there's tears. Then I say, have you ever told this to anyone before? No. And it's not like some secret. Sometimes that people go pretty deep. Saints, we have to, as we go to God who knows us already. When I encourage people to talk about prayer, Paul was intentional. Paul was deliberate. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Little old me, God saved. So that's why his heart's desire in prayer is that his brethren be saved. You can't be saved through that tradition. You can't be saved through Judaism. So don't ever forget. And I keep going back to that because it's so important, because it doesn't happen enough in the Lord's church. Because I'm going to fellowship in a minute and what Paul had to say about that. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to check all your notes as you go out. Otherwise, there's going to be a lock-in tonight. I don't have that authority. Paul's desire, Paul's personal context. Don't ever stop praying. But as we pray, maybe never lose sight of what the expectation is. Not getting what we want, but rejoicing in hope. Persevering through tribulation. You mean to tell me I can pray when I'm hurting? Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget that we pray for stuff. We pray that all goes well. We pray for safe travels. Don't forget to have that prayer of thanksgiving as well. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to arrive safely. When I text David saying, David, it's raining real hard down here, but I don't see any arcs, so I think we're good. But the bottom line is I'm thankful to God. And I tell my kids, just be thankful for everything God gives us. As we look at Paul, let's continue on. In Romans chapter 1, stay in the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and about verse 9. This constant pattern of just understanding who he is, what he came through. But let us persevere. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Now we're going to transition to fellowship, but as we look at what Paul had to say here, the Bible says, "And for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit," King James, "with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son,
understanding where Paul came from, his heart's desire and prayer that his brethren be saved. Paul recognizing that we need to be constant in prayer in the midst of tribulation. Never stop, don't cease to pray, keeping hope in front of us, that earnest expectation for something better than where we are. And that's eternal glory. This world is not our home. But Paul goes on to say in Romans 1 and 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing," there he is again, Paul was very consistent and persistent, "whom I serve in my spirit of the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." What's the request, Paul? Making request, his supplication, his request of God, "if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." I long to see you, he says in the very next verse. We should long for fellowship. The devil is one of the devil's most effective devices is that of we think that it will all work out if I stay by myself. I'll just suffer in silence. One of the toughest things I ever had to do was to stand and have a church house full of people, but that child of God had taken her own life. Now, we trace it back, and I know exactly some of the challenges that were being faced, but nobody, it was just after the fact. No one said anything. I'm not here to be morbid at all. I'm here to be realistic and to be intentional as Paul was. Paul says, "I make mention of you always in my prayers." We have to not only talk to God, we pray to the Father, the Almighty God, but God has given us the wherewithal and the means to have one another. Let's talk about fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship, we know it, koinonia. To be fellow partakers, joint partakers. Well, you know, communion, you know, that same Greek word, koinonia. But brothers and sisters, the power of prayer. There's a time for prayer, there's also a time for action. And so as we think about the opportunity we have tonight, and as I share these few words with you tonight, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans 15. Let's stay in Romans. Romans chapter 15. And we'll take a look at about verse 30. And as we think about fellowship, joint partakers, we share, we have something in common. Romans chapter 15. And I want to look at about verse 30. Listen to Paul. "Now I plead with you, I beseech you, brethren." That word beseech, I'm pleading with you. "For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive alone together." That was my elementary school trick. When I used to teach school, I would pause and use the wrong word and see if the kids were following me. You all are still following me, I'm sure. Paul says, let me go from the top again. "I'm pleading with you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." We're in this together. No one should suffer in silence, no matter what you are going through. Paul, as we think about the model prayer, and it's not so much what Paul said to God, it was a mindset, a persistence. When I think about it, listen, I want to pray like Paul. I want to be intentional like Paul. I want to be able to reference my history, my story, and use it for the glory of God like Paul. I want to be able to just let brethren know that I'm pleading with you. You know, there was an old school song, "Ain't Too Proud to Beg." You know, you act like you don't know. As children of God, if I got to get on my knees to help a brother and say, you know, "Brother, please tell me what's going on." Don't let pride get in the way. Paul says, I'm pleading with you, brethren. Strive together with me and pray for me. That's intentional. The word intentionality, to be deliberate, to be purposeful, to provide clarity. Don't speak in ambiguous terms. What I love about Paul is Paul was clear. He was concise. He was bold. We need to be the same way. We need to be the same way. Because oftentimes, brothers and sisters, if we're not careful, we will suppress the fellowship through our silence. Let me say that again. We'll suppress fellowship through our silence. Well, everything will be okay. How do you know? Did you ask? And don't do this. Let me role play for a minute. Don't do this. How you doing? The microphone is a random person. Look, how you doing tonight? I didn't stop to wait for the response. Have you ever done that? You ask someone how they're doing and you keep walking. Wait for the response. Paul was intentional. Paul was fervent in his prayers. Paul says again, Romans 15 and verse 30. Let's look at it again. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you, brethren. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, God has given us everything we need. Strive together. And that word strive requires work. Striving, indicative, you think of an athlete. Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, those that strive for those masteries, those athletes that compete, they got to work. Everybody's tickled pink in Miami over that basketball team. They had to work. I talked with some folks at the Heat today. They couldn't be happier. They're afraid of Denver, but they couldn't be happier at the moment. My point is this. You got to work. And as children of God, may we have that mindset. Strive together. Fellowship, brothers and sisters. We're in this together. Please don't suffer in silence. I want to just be as practical as I can tonight because it goes on with me. Strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So let's talk about it for a minute. As the Bible states, as Paul stated, I want my brethren to be saved. I make mention of you always in my prayers. So this wasn't a selfish mindset. Paul goes on to say, let's strive together. We're in this together. We fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's a time for action. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go to Colossians 3 for a minute. Colossians, the third chapter. As we think about what Paul had to say to the saints at Colossae, and I'm so thankful and mindful of Paul's consistency. First and foremost, in Colossians chapter 3, the stage is set. It goes back to mindset, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But Paul says in Colossians 3, and for time's sake, we'll just go right to verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Paul says, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all by the authority or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, giving thanks to God the Father, to God and the Father by Him. It goes without saying, but I'll say it for the record because we may have some non-Christians here and we want to make sure that once you become a child of God, an invitation was already extended, one of the spiritual blessings we have is to approach boldly the throne of grace. And we pray to the Father by the authority of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, whatever you do in word or deed, don't ever forget who's in charge. That's my fourth or fifth point, whatever point I'm on right now. The next point is, don't forget who's in charge. As we go to God, I remember when I was taught how to pray and talking about it. I remember the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, acknowledge, confess, give thanksgiving, and then make your supplications or requests known. So as Paul says here, you know, again, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all by the authority of Jesus Christ. My grandma had some interesting ways of saying things like, stay in your lane. That's just grandmama talk. This is when I was growing up. And the line should not be blurred ever. Brothers, I will say this to you, and as we talk, as we have elders here and others, even in the Lord's church, Paul's fervency and his zeal for God, there should never be a question as to who's in charge in the Lord's church. And sadly, that is a question in some places. Preachers who say they don't want elders. You've lost sight of who's in charge because God's already told us exactly what to do. So Paul's model, his example, the pattern of his prayer, recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? How much authority does he have? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, when you give thanks to God, thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege of fellowship. Thank you for the opportunity for me to plead with my brothers and sisters. These are opportunities that God has given us. But I want to spend the rest of my time on a mindset, a perspective, the lens through which we see things. Now, in the world we live in today, a lot of times, and as I've had the opportunity to speak to college classes, people call it, what's your worldview? Well, I don't believe in relative truth. Amen. Our perspective, and Paul through his prayers, you know, if we want to pray like Paul, think about his mindset. Philippians chapter 4. Come on. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to spend the rest of our time talking about a mindset of perspective. Because as children of God, similar to a team and similar to the military, there's a mindset because you're competing. We're at war. This is spiritual warfare. And I remember vividly as I look back, I think the kids were probably maybe third, fourth grade. I had a basketball team I was coaching at the time. And it's my job to look at the other team now, David. And I looked at the other team, and they were pretty tall. I'm like, those are some big third graders. Then I looked at my team, and my point guard in particular, he was looking at the other team too. And he's looking at the other team, and then he did this. And I said, you're not starting tonight because you're already defeated. Brothers and sisters, when we're going to pray like Paul, we need to have that faith that God is able. Because God already knows what's going on. God knows what's going on in our world, and so the mentality that we ought to have. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 6. There's so much here. Of course, verse 13. We'll get there in anything. But he was anxious. And that word careful in the King James Version of Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious and don't be anxious, but in everything. Listen to Paul. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul is saying, don't be uneasy. No need to excessively worry or be anxious in anything. Now, that's sometimes a little challenge for us, isn't it? Because we worry about things. Right now, I got 4 beautiful kids, 3 bodyguards and 1 princess. They should be appropriately seated. Princess in the middle, bodyguard left, bodyguard right. Don't look at them. I don't want to embarrass them. They're right there. But my point is this. Now, all of them have driver's licenses. And they just, yeah. And so now they go grab keys and they drive off. And I just take a deep breath because I remember. Now, I'm relieved when I have the remote control in my hand, like, have a nice day. But my point is, in all sincerity and all seriousness, I had to take a deep breath. It's like, wow, no more babies. That's a chapter where I am in my life. And so Paul is saying, but trust God. We trust God. So the Bible says, Paul says, don't be uneasy. Don't excessively worry about anything. But he goes on to say, but in everything, absolute term, in everything, by prayer and supplication. You want to pray like Paul? I want to pray like Paul. Let me take everything to God and not allow anxiety or uneasiness or excessive worrying to cause me to be distracted. The mindset tonight, team. Is don't look at the opposition and start shaking your head. Oh, I don't know. This is going to be a tough one right now. That sister, I'm dry. Oh, I don't know. No, guess what? Thank you, Lord. I got faith in you, Lord. Help me get through this. Because it happens. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious in nothing. Be careful, but if in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In Philippians 4, 13, you know the mindset. He didn't say, I can do some things through Christ. Because of that mindset, that perspective, that lens, the disposition, I will take everything to the God, the Almighty God. That's why he can say with surety and with confidence, I can do all things through Christ. Remember who's in charge, who empowers, who strengthens me. But the Bible goes on. Let me give you a couple more because you're such a good audience. Colossians 4 and 2. Mindset. I want to end with mindset because I want to make sure that as we move forward as children of God, we have to be vigilant. Peter said it. He said that our adversary is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We got to be vigilant. We got to be aware of our surroundings. Paul says in Colossians 4 and 2. That was at first, but that's 5 minutes, right, brother? Okay, good, good. Colossians 4 and 2. Continue in prayer. How many times have we heard Paul say that? Pray without ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul says to the church of Christ at Colossae, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. If you stack all these scriptures up side by side, what's the pattern? Don't stop praying. Make mention of your brothers and sisters in prayer. Understand your personal context. We came from something. Paul said, I was a chief sinner. Paul says, I will not be uneasy or worry about a thing, but I'm taking everything to God. I want to be like that. MJ aside, I want to pray like Paul. I want to pray like Paul. Paul goes on to say, when we pray, look at it, Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer, watch in the same, be aware, but also be thankful. Our mindset, our perspective should be, brothers and sisters, even in the midst of tribulation, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get through this. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get through it. I tore my Achilles in 2018 playing basketball. Doctor said, I'm not worried about that one anymore because that one's like 2-ply. This one's 1-ply. And so my thing is, through brokenness, I became stronger. Let us not pray that we can avoid things. Let's persevere through it. And so Paul lets us know, be aware, be mindful. We close in 1 Timothy 2 and in 2 Timothy 1, respectively. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writing to a son in the faith, Timothy, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And thank you all for getting some exercise and turning those pages tonight. I appreciate that. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Paul says, that same Paul that says, I beseech, I plead with you, the same Paul says, I want to encourage you. And I want to close with some encouragement. That word exhort, Paul says, I exhort, I encourage, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for just your friends. That's not what the Bible says. I'm glad I didn't hear any amens, because that would be the wrong mindset. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Let me state the obvious. We live in a very divisive society. People could have a good idea, but because I don't like Dan and he's like a good idea, it's like I don't like the idea anymore. It's the world we live in. It's not the Christian mentality. Our perspective should be, we thank God. Our perspective should be, I'm not going to leave sound doctrine for anyone or anything. The Bible goes on to say, prayers and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all men that are in authority, everybody, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And again, we began with it. Look at this. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for people. This morning at that school, talked to all the kids, and they took me to the pre-K class. And they had all the kids stand up and tell me something about them. And there was a young lady that stood up. She said, I can count to 300. She's in pre-K. And they said, she got here from Ukraine earlier this year. Couldn't speak any English. So when that little girl from Ukraine, her little ponytail, and looked at me and said, I can count to 300. Once they gave me some context, I said, thank God. Thank God. No family, just her. So brothers and sisters, let us be thankful that we serve a God who wants all men to be saved. Let us pray without ceasing. We all came from something. Fellowship. Don't ever suffer in silence. Pray for one another. And what Paul said is that no need to be uneasy, no need to worry. Because God has our back. I think that bell means Gale Sayers Nelson, you're in the end zone, you got to wrap it up. I want to pray like Paul. I hope, trust, and pray that as we think about what Paul, I'll close in the words of Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank God for that mentality. God sent his Son to pay the ultimate price. I pray to God that we will never cease to pray, not only for each other, but also let's give God the thanks that he deserves. On that note, let's go to our Father in prayer.